Hello, everyone. Michelle Mortensen here with the Michelle Mortensen Show. We are so glad to have you joining us here on this Friday. And what a Friday it is. Let's see. We got a new stimulus package possibly headed our way. It is going to the House. You could see a $600 check in your bank account before you know it. Maybe by the end of the year, says Mnuchin, this Treasury director. Of course, the House hasn't voted on it just yet. Let's see other big news today. Bill Barr says, hey, I don't see the need for a special counsel in the Hunter Biden situation. Oh, and Dr. Bricks under a lot of fire because when she said, don't you celebrate Thanksgiving, don't you dare travel, turns out she did. Yeah, she did. She went to her house in Delaware to get it all winterized with three generations of her family, just so happened to be in the middle of Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day where they could all celebrate and have a big dinner. Ha ha. Ah, love that elitism, don't you? Meanwhile, they tell you not to celebrate Christmas. So much to talk to you about today. Huge show in store for you, but we are going to start with the poll of all polls. I hate polls. I think polls are stupid, and this one kind of proves it because the Hill-Harris X poll just did a poll around December 10th through December 14th asking people, what do you think of the job that President-elect Joe Biden's doing? And guess what? 6 in 10 voters said they approve. That's right. 60% said he's doing a bang up job. And only 40% of you said, you know what? I really disapprove of the job he's doing. Here's the problem. What does a president-elect do? I mean, really, really, what has Hunter Biden done as of late? Anything? Anything at all? Oh, that's right. Yeah. He hasn't. He hasn't really done anything at all because the president-elect isn't an actual job. You're not doing anything as president-elect whatsoever unless you count maybe doing a quick interview with Stephen Colbert, a comedian. Can you believe that? He did an interview with a comedian and that is it. And you know, Spence, I want to take that a little bit early if we can. Let's just show some of the hard-hitting journalism that Stephen Colbert, a comedian, not a journalist, gave Vice President Biden, President-elect Biden, when he finally sat down to answer some questions.
What is President Biden going to put into the world? Do you take it personally at all, the Republicans who haven't acknowledged your win? In a normal Christmas year, what are the Biden family Christmas traditions? As a husband who loves this person, did you ever, you know, want to like get out a length of pool chain and go full corn pop on these people?
The answer is no. Close.
Oh, yeah, those are some really tough questions. I mean, hard hitting. What are your Christmas traditions? Dr. Biden, did you ever want to go full on corn pop on these people who were saying nasty things about you? Well, my golly, where were those questions for Donald Trump? Oh, that's right. They didn't exist because when Donald Trump was interviewed by anyone, they would ask all sorts of ludicrous questions like, are you going to pardon yourself for crimes you haven't even committed or been convicted of? Yeah. Isn't your son the devil because he spoke to a Ukrainian? Those were the questions that Donald Trump got. And to Donald Trump's credit, he would do those interviews. He would do the interviews with absolutely anyone, and he would either answer or set up or do whatever he was going to do with the question. Joe Biden, meanwhile, though, doesn't want to do an interview with any legitimate journalist, but instead is like, hey, I'm going to go on Stephen Colbert and have the guy who used to pretend to be O'Reilly let him do my interview. That is not a real interview. That is not legit in any way, shape, or form, and you should be appalled. I will let you all know, though, that CBS has a history of letting Colbert do their interviews. Because when I was working for CBS in 2016, and we were covering the Republican National Convention, do you want to know who the CBS correspondent was? It was Stephen Colbert. Meanwhile, Stephen Colbert is not a freaking correspondent. This is as bad. This is, you know what? It actually wasn't that bad when Bill Clinton went on Arsenio Hall and was all woo, woo, woo. You know, when he played little saxophone, look, I'm cool. I'm Bill Clinton. I eat the McRib. That didn't irritate me as much because at least Bill Clinton went on all media. Joe Biden is basically saying, Stephen Colbert can ask me questions and no one else can. Stephen Colbert, who's going to fan all over himself and just say, oh my God, it must be so hard being so perfect, Vice President Biden. I mean, just go full corn pop on everyone. Do you know what my response is to all this?
This is stupid.
It is stupid. It's 110% stupid, and I don't want to put up with it anymore. Meanwhile, another poll, because let's just talk about polls here for a minute, by Rasmussen found that most voters think the media hid the Hunter Biden story before the election. 56% of people believe it's likely Joe Biden was consulted about and perhaps profited from his son's overseas business dealings. 52% of voters think the news organizations actually hid the story. Yeah, they think that because it's true. It's not just that New York Post was the only one who was reporting on it. New York Post and Fox News, the only people who would even consider reporting on it. YouTube banned it. Twitter banned it. Instagram banned the story. Facebook banned the story. And if you were a journalist who tried covering it, you were publicly shamed by all those other journalists from all those other networks saying, it's not true. It's not verifiable. It is Russian disinformation. When it wasn't Russian disinformation at all. In fact, the only disinformation that has been coming into America is actually from the country of China. The New York Times reported on it over the weekend that basically China this entire time has been telling us misinformation about the coronavirus, that actually in the months of January, February, March, April, May, they had propagandists who were purposely putting out information to hide what was really going on with coronavirus, to hide China's involvement, to try to put out disinformation out there. And do you know who ate that up? The mainstream media, because they all got all sorts of offended when President Trump called it the China virus. That's just not true. And it's totally racist to associate it with a country. You're right. The Spanish flu must be racist too. Absolute ridiculousness. So we have seen that the media suppresses information all the time. And everybody and their brother knows that the media is suppressing information when it came to Hunter Biden. They suppressed it all October. They suppressed it all November. They're really trying their darndest to suppress it now. And in fact, when Colbert decided to ask Biden about it, Biden's answer was, my son is one of the smartest people that I know. Let me tell you a little bit about the man Biden says is the smartest person he knows. He's a venture capitalist who's turned artist, according to Vanity Fair, whose studio in the pool house of his Hollywood Hills home. How many of you have a pool house at your Hollywood Hills home? Elitist snob much? Creates his work with metal straws, which he uses to blow alcohol ink into Japanese Yupo paper, creating abstract layers of colors and concentric circles. Biden explains, it keeps me away from people and places where I shouldn't be. The one thing I have left is my art. It's the one thing they can't take away from me or conflate with anything else. Hunter Biden, meanwhile, also used metal straws to sniff up cocaine off mirrors. But now he uses them to create art with ink and paper. And he's an artist now who also, you know, took money from foreign nationals, was totally had his father involved so that they could profit as a family and everything that they did, and is being investigated by the FBI and has been for 2 years. But yes, he's the smartest person that Joe Biden knows. Yeah. Yeah. No one's buying that. No one is buying that one iota. It's just pure and utter crap. You know what else is crap lately? The great state of California. The great state of California that I actually really love quite a bit because I am a native Californian. I am a native of the San Francisco Bay Area. And I truly do love my state. But my state has lost its mind because George Soros and the liberals have taken over it to extremes that are just out of control. Previously on the show, I have told you about the LA district attorney, newly elected thanks to George Soros, Gascon, who has decided that he wants to release sex offenders, murderers, people who've committed drive-by shootings, people who have raped others while they've been unconscious. He thinks people who have held people hostage should be released because, you know, there's just such prison overcrowding. Meanwhile, he wants to put you in jail if you dare open your restaurant or you don't wear a mask. But meanwhile, that genius of a DA was seen doing the unthinkable this weekend at a press conference where a bunch of victims wanted to address how ludicrous his new rules are. Look at this exchange. It's about a minute 10. It's going to blow your mind on how L.A. District Attorney Gascon responds to his critics.
I apologize. You know, it's unfortunate that we have people that do not have enough education to keep their mouth shut for a moment so we can talk. Anyway.
My son can never speak again because he was murdered. He was kidnapped, tortured, and murdered.
To communicate with you.
My son matters.
I killed my son, tortured him. What are you going to do about it? Nothing.
The audacity of this elitist snob is unreal. He had the audacity to say, oh, some of you don't have the education to know to keep your mouth shut. No, these are people, these are mothers and fathers who have been killed. So that son making first, her son was pulled over by thugs who thought he had marijuana. So they tried to steal from him. Then they stomped with their feet, his head in, his skull, and then threw him over a cliff. And that LA district attorney thinks those men deserve to get out. And that that mom is uneducated and doesn't know how to keep her mouth shut. What an a-hole. But see, these are the elitists. These are the elitists that liberals all across the country continue to elect. Because these socialist, Chardonnay socialist liberals think they're just so much more woke than everyone else. That if we let all the criminals out who commit murder, they've paid their dues. They're going to do so much better. This is actually for the victims. It's for them. It's better. No, no, it's not. We are single-handedly watching our country, our states, our cities be destroyed by these idiots. And you're being told to shut up because of public health. You're being told not to speak up. You're being told not to say anything on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram. You're being told to stay silent. And it's disgusting. And you know what? My prayer is that you're not going to stay silent and that our uproar is starting to work because as we're seeing, Governor Newsom and his recall, he's in a little bit of trouble. See, what we're seeing is they're getting close to the signature count. So much so that Willie Brown, y'all know Willie Brown. He was a former mayor of San Francisco. He was a former Speaker of House in the state of California. He used to be Kamala's side piece or the other way around. We all know Willie Brown, one of the most successful politicians in the great state of California of all time, really. And he said, Newsom, you're in trouble, dude. You're in trouble. There's going to get money behind this and they're going to get the signatures and Democrats don't fare well in recalls, even in the great state of California. He said, right now, Newsom's chances of survival are tied to the pandemic. If California can get the coronavirus under some semblance of control and counties can lift economic restrictions, and here's the big If Newsom can lean on teachers' unions and school districts to reopen classrooms, he'll survive, but it can't guarantee his reelection. So what's Willie Brown's amazing advice to keep, you know, Newsom alive? He says he's got to spin like the wind. Just spin, spin, spin. That ain't working for him. He's not that clever of a spin doctor. He says Newsom needs to make it about Trump. You know what, Democrats? I've got a big news flash for you. You're not going to be able to use Trump as your excuse any longer because he's not going to be the president. Biden's going to be the president. So you're going to constantly say for the next 4 years that it's still all Trump's fault? Probably so, because no one's going to tune in unless everybody's talking about Trump, right? But good luck making this Trump's fault, because actually nothing that's happened in California is Trump's fault at all. It's all Gavin Newsom's fault. So those are his amazing, amazing pieces of advice. And let me just tell you, it's crap advice that isn't going to work. I hope and I pray. As a former Californian, I pray the right Republican starts to rise up right now and says, I'm running in 22, or I'm running in this recall if we get it, and takes Newsom down. But here's the problem that California has. It's the same problem that the state of Nevada has. We often pick the wrong Republicans. That's right. We'll pick some old hat, some old fart who's ran a million times before, who no one really likes, but some people think he's really cool because he's not a rhino and maybe Trump kind of liked him. And we think that guy's the answer. It's never the answer. When they got rid of Gray Davis, do you want to know who ran for governor and won? Oh, be back. Arnold Schwarzenegger did. You're going to have to go all Schwarzenegger-esque and find someone who Californians will get behind, not some idiot. But most California Republicans, like Nevada Republicans, have a tendency to pick idiots. It's just what they do. All right, we still got a lot more show coming up, including Santa getting the COVID vaccine before you. And why did he get it anyway? We're going to talk about that and so much more. Don't go anywhere, my friends. Later on, we're going to have Rudy Pamatuan on talking about all things Nevada, California, and nationwide politics. So stay tuned. We've got more Michelle Mortensen Show coming at you in about a minute. Oh, oh.
Merry Christmas, baby. I say you sure did treat me nice.
LadylikeClothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. LadylikeClothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at LadylikeClothing.com.
Wondering if now is the time to buy or sell a home, or is a market crash on the way? At Home, a real estate company, John Kennedy and his team will make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. Home is where the heart is, and John Kennedy and his team are ready to lead you home. Give them a call today at 702-640-0101 or visit them at homerealestatecompany.com. Nothing quite gets me in the Christmas spirit like Grace Jones on Pee-wee's Playhouse while Pee-wee does the Pee-wee Herman dance. Yeah, I mean, it really gets me. It gets me in the mood. It gets me just ready for Santa. I want to go hang some stockings up on the tree and say, hey, I knew you, but what am I? I know what Dr. Fauci is, though. He's an idiot, and in my opinion. But you know what he did? He made sure that Santa's just A-okay to come down your chimney and give you some toys. He did. He made sure that it's all A-okay because he gave Santa the COVID-19 vaccine. Check this out.
Well, I have to say I took care of that for you because I was worried that you'd all be upset. So what I did a little while ago, I took a trip up there to the North Pole. I went there and I vaccinated Santa Claus myself. I measured his level of immunity, and he is good to go. He can come down the chimney, he can leave the presents, he can leave, and you have nothing to worry about. Santa Claus is good to go.
Well, praise Jesus. I was so scared. I mean, truly, my kids every day have asked me, you know, well, is Santa going to wear a mask? Is he going to have a COVID-19 vaccine? That was sarcasm. My kids have never asked that at all because...
This is just stupid.
Yep, it's just stupid. It is stupid to think that in any way, shape, or form. But you know who else is stupid? Gretchen Whitmer, because she decided to have a Zoom call with Santa so all the kids could ask, should we wash our hands? I don't really know, Santa. Take a look.
Yes, that is Santa Claus. He joined Whitmer and kids across Michigan on a Zoom call to take questions and assure families that he and his elves have been following COVID protocols and have all tested negative before their big day.
Wash our hands. What I would suggest to do is what the governor is telling all the people of the great state of Michigan to do. Social distance, wash your hands, and make sure you wear your mask when you're outside your home.
Did you know that Santa hangs stockings on his own fireplace? I mean, dang, Santa. Why don't you just give yourself whatever you want? Oh, my God. I say, do everything go Governor Mate Mercier. It's awesome. Wash those hands. Can I tell you something? Disney Channel, every morning when my kids wake up, eating breakfast for school, they always run this Doc McStuffins video where they're telling you to wash their hands. And my kids always groan and go, we know how to wash our hands. Kids do not care about this. Kids do not care about this. Elitist adults care about this. Elitist adults and no one else. And it's ridiculous. But you know what? Santa got the vaccine. You know who else evidently wants the vaccine? This is going to blow your mind. This is going to blow your mind. People who cheat. That's right. Cheaters. Not the strip club. No, cheaters. Actual people who've got a side piece. They want it. Because according to Ashley Madison, you know, that website that lets you cheat. They did a poll and it says 4 out of 10 cheaters, 40% really want that COVID-19 vaccine so they can responsibly have their affair. I mean, who would want to have an irresponsible affair and destroy their families by giving them COVID? Because the affair's not destroying your family. The study went on to say that most Ashley Madison users see affairs as a form of self-care that helps them get through stressful and uncertain times. Self-care. That's it. Just keep telling yourself that. In a separate report, they also found that 41% of self-identified cheaters sought out their first affair due to boredom during the COVID lockdowns. That's absolutely, absolutely rich. Washington Post, not my favorite, although they've done quite a few articles on me and they love to refer to me as the female Donald Trump with more Emmys and better hair. But they're stupid. And this is why, Spence, pull up their tweet. Their tweet says, every time you listen to Bing Crosby's White Christmas, 5 people die from coronavirus from the beginning to the end of the song. And you see that little picture of someone on a ventilator gasping for their last breath before they die? Will you dare listen to I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, you heathen? Here's the problem. That's not a Babylon Bee story. Here's the problem. That's a legitimate news organization. And they're trying to make you feel really bad. Saying that, you know, 5 people are going to die. 5 people are going to die from COVID while you listen to this. But how about this statistic? Every time you read a Washington Post article, about 9 babies have been killed in abortions between the beginning and the end of the article, says lifenews.com. Also, studies show White Christmas is listened to 2.7 million times a day in December at 5 people dead per plane over the span of 18 days so far. That would mean 243 million people have died from the coronavirus, which has not happened. Another witty replier says, Dean Martin's version is 7 seconds shorter. The Drifters came in 9 seconds shorter. A fuller analysis is necessary, but I need grant money. Very true. All right. Here's the truth about who's dying while you're listening to White Christmas, or who's dying, period. Do you know that in 10 minutes, 3 people die every single day? And 885 people suffer an injury that requires them to go to a doctor. That's true. Did you know that there actually aren't any statistics at all of what your odds are of dying from COVID? It's true. It's because we don't have those statistics whatsoever. But I can tell you this, that your odds of dying of heart disease are 1 in 6. Your odds of dying of cancer is 1 in 7. Your odds of dying because of suicide is 1 in 86. Your odds of dying in an opioid overdose is 1 in 98. Your odds of dying because of gun assault is 1 in 298. Your odds of dying on the street in a pedestrian accident are 1 in 541. Your odds of drowning are 1 in 1,121. You have a better chance of being struck by lightning a 1 in 180,000 chance of being struck by lightning than you do by dying from COVID. Because I want to remind everyone that less than 1% of the population has died from COVID. Do the math. There are 330 million people in America, and we have still not even reached 300,000 deaths. It is absolutely ridiculous. But you know what you will die from? Probably a drug overdose. And here's an amazing statistic for you. In San Francisco alone, the death rate from drug overdoses is over three times higher than the number of deaths attributed to COVID-19. Whoa, hold on. Hold the phone here. Are you telling me more people have died from drug overdoses in San Francisco than COVID? Say it ain't so. But it's true, because 621 people have died from drug overdoses in San Francisco in 2020, while only 173 people have died from COVID-19. Approximately 81,000 people have overdosed in the United States from June of 2019 to May of 2020, with the deaths accelerating in the final months, and the largest number of drug overdoses ever seen in a one-year period. Can I tell you what even doctors say is more deadly than freaking COVID-19, whether you're listening to White Christmas or not? Doctors wrote that to President Trump, saying that the lockdowns are a mass casualty incident. Here's why. 150,000 Americans per month who would have had new cancer detected through routine screening hasn't happened. Millions who've missed routine dental care to fix problems strongly linked to heart disease and death, and preventable cases of stroke, heart attack, and child abuse have not happened. Suicide hotline phone calls have increased 600%, wrote the doctors. More doctors would probably speak out, but the worry of losing their medical licenses have made them stay silent. So do you want me to tell you what is more deadly than COVID-19, whether you're listening to White Christmas or whether you're watching Pee Wee's Playhouse, or whether you're watching this show or the news? Absolutely everything else. From suicide to drug overdose to being hit in a car to a plane crash to cancer to diabetes to the flu, which, again, I know it's amazing, but we haven't had any cases of the flu in 2020. Shocking, mind-blowing. I know. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either. I don't understand how this happened, but this is what is happening. So you are being lied to. Every single day you're being lied to, and you're being lied to in these creative ways that, yes, well, you listen to White Christmas, you elitist snob. People are dying. While you sit there and trim your tree and have people over, you are killing people. But that's only for you, because you're a little person who watches the news, because you work at a gym, because you're a waitress, because you're a bartender, and you're the problem. But elitists like Dr. Brix and Dr. Fauci and Governor Gavin Newsom and the mayor of Austin and Mayor Lightfoot and everybody else, they can do whatever the fudge they want, because they're elitists and they're freaking Democrats. And I don't know if you've gotten this news flash, but we should have a breaking news ticker go right now. Because breaking news, if you're a Democrat, you can do whatever you want. You can date a Chinese spy. Totally, totally, with a cool name like Fang Fang. I thought it was Fong Fong. It's Fang Fang. You can take money from the mayor of Moscow's wife. You totally can. It's totally legit. It's fine. Let's see. You can be Governor Cuomo, and you can be accused of sexual misconduct, and all you have to say is like, no, it didn't happen. And everyone goes, okay, cool, 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 cool. You can be Joe Biden, who we've all seen sniffing little girls' hairs. And when an intern comes up and says, he sexually assaulted me, everyone goes, that's just not true. But Brett Kavanaugh, this woman, Dr. Blasey Ford, says when you were in high school together at a high school party that no one can remember at all, you sexually assaulted her when you were 17. And for years, we'll talk about this. Yeah. You know, Clarence Thomas evidently had a Diet Coke can, and Anita Hill said something like there was a pubic hair on it. And, you know, that still haunts Clarence Thomas to this day. But Bill Clinton can take a cigar and do something with it with an intern under the the desk at the Oval Office. And everyone's like, no, that's totally cool. And it was actually Monica's fault. Okay. Okay, keep that dream alive. Do you want to talk about what the heck is going to happen in 22 in the state of Nevada and the state of California? Who's going to run for president in 24? We're going to talk about that and so much more with the conservative voice of the state of Nevada, Rudy Pamatuan. He is coming up next as my special guest. You are not going to want to miss this. Plus, we're going to talk about the little connection that he and I both have to the White House and how we're like secret special White House buddies. That and so much more. So don't go anywhere. We got a quick commercial break and more show to come.
The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is a nonprofit organization based in Las Vegas, determined to meet the needs of any and every person who wants mobility and independence. Any child, teen, or adult who needs a wheelchair but can't afford one can get one today from the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation. The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is meeting the needs for those who need it most. And right now, the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation needs your help. With the holidays here, they want to bless everyone they can with wheelchairs for a better life. Partner with them today to make mobility dreams come true. Donate now at wheelchairfoundation.org or call 702-848-6250. That's 702-848-6250. With almost 10,000 wheelchairs delivered across the state, the Wheelchair Foundation delivers hope, mobility, and independence.
I just really like the Muppets too. You know, you don't understand how much I labor over these commercials and finding the right bumper music. It is a passion. And if you have never heard that song by whoever those ladies were in the beginning, Santa, Bring Me a Man, you need to YouTube it, because if I could have shown you the whole video, it was awesome. I mean, they kind of sound like the chicks who sang It's Raining Men, but it's like Santa, Bring Me a Man. And it's hilarious. As are the Muppets. You know who else is hilarious? My good friend, Rudy Pamatuan. And Rudy is my special guest here today on the Michelle Mortensen Show. And Rudy, I just thank you so much for joining me here. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. Michelle, thank you for all you do. Your show is incredible. When I can, I tune in all the time. And I know that you're a breath of fresh air in our state. And, you know, the rank and file of those that believe in what we believe in and share the same values look up to what you have to say.
Oh, thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. And I gave the big tease that you and I are secret White House buddies and that we're both on the White House Christmas card lists. We both got our same identical card.
Oh, this year's was fantastic, wasn't it?
It was. I actually really liked it. It was really nice.
So Trump-esque with the gold. You have to love it.
Oh, it's always gold. It's always gold. And I love it every year. It's fantastic. And I know you do a lot of great work with the White House. In fact, you've been working with White House administrations since the W administration. I've just recently started working with the White House administration for the past 2 years. But you are one of the biggest political movers and shakers in the great state of Nevada. And I just want to talk to you about so much. And let's just talk about Donald Trump for a minute, because the Daily Beast, which I think is a ridiculous news operation, I shouldn't even call it a news operation, but they are claiming that Donald Trump is going to go back to TV and he's going to bring back The Apprentice. My question to you is, what do you think with the pulse in DC and you know what's going on in DC, what do you think is next for President Trump? Do you think he's going to go back to TV? Like I want him to go back to TV. I want him to create his own TV network. Or do you think more politics and being the kingmaker is what he's going to do next?
I think he's going to do more in politics. I think that ever since he took the presidency, he's had such great fun and he's done so much. And he saw that with such little time, he was able to accomplish quite a bit. His sons, his daughter, his in-laws, they're obviously looking at opportunities throughout the country, and they've got bright futures themselves. So I think he's going to still dabble quite a bit and stay quite engaged. And I'm going to go along and say that it's not over yet. So until we see the actual inauguration on the 20th with a different individual like a Biden being sworn in, I still wouldn't count Trump out.
And that brings up a great question, because last week we all finally got to hear firsthand a little bit about some of the election fraud that has happened in that Senate hearing. And there was the gentleman, the lawyer for us here in the state of Nevada, who really, we laid it out on Friday's show, who laid out exactly just how many people double voted, how many records of dead people voting that they found. My big problem with all of this is he goes and says that, and then immediately one of my alma maters, Channel 8, gets Jackie Rosen on, our state senator, or was it the other one? Yeah, it was Jackie Rosen, to say like, No, none of that's true. And then Channel 8 says, well, we've done our own investigation and there were only 5 dead people who voted. So see, all of that is a lie. And they say they've got these numbers, but we're not seeing it. And I think that makes people a little skeptical. I know you've been working very closely on this and you've been an insider with this one. What can you tell us?
Well, I will say I've been really hands-on, especially here in Nevada. I mean, we found a good friend of ours, April Becker, who ran for state Senate. I mean, we found just in her district, there were 5 precincts that voted over 100%. One precinct in particular had 122% turnout, meaning there were more ballots that were submitted and counted than actual registered voters. So I've seen it firsthand. I have to say that this is a big national effort to condition the masses to believe that anything we put out is fictitious or made up. But you can't discount the fact that we have hundreds of affidavits from hundreds of individuals, some working for various counties around the nation, that are saying that they saw a lot of impropriety that occurred, a lot of irregularities. And when you compare databases from death lists to actual numbers of the people that actually voted, you're going to see a lot of discrepancies. So it's out there. The challenge has been the timelines, right? And so there's not enough time to get all this information out in bite-sized pieces that the American people can understand before the 20th of January, when the inauguration happens. And so that's what the big challenge is. And the other challenge on top of that layered on is, you know, we're being censored by the media, whether it be social media, traditional media, mainstream media, even uploading, videos on YouTube. We're dealing with a situation where we're getting censored, and where we're not being censored, we're getting shadow banned and our information isn't getting out.
That's true, because YouTube said that they will ban anyone who talks about the election and election fraud. So we're pretty much saying this show is going to be banned on YouTube. So hope you're watching live, because you can't watch it later. And that is a big problem. And I would agree with you. I think one of the bigger problems that I see for the future is it's also telling candidates on the Republican side, people who want to run for office, like, well, the cards are stacked against you, because we're going to make sure that we're not going to have 100% voter turnout. We're going to have 120% voter turnout. More people are going to vote than people who live in that precinct, which is freaking impossible. But the Democrats are just going to say, well, you're lying. It ain't true. Mm-hmm. Can't prove it. I want to know how regular human beings go, wait a minute, if there's only 100 people who live in that precinct, how did 120 people vote? Why is this not shocking to anyone?
Exactly. And I think that's where the censorship and the shadow banning, that's where they're influencing it, right? Because when people hear about this, they're going to ask the questions. Unfortunately, we're not able to get the word out to the masses, to get the critical mass of interest to really ask these important questions. So while the Trump team is focusing on addressing this in the short term to meet the deadlines with what we have, we as activists, we have to look into 2022 and beyond, right? And while everyone's focused on voter ID for actual elections, I think we need to look actually earlier, because it's not just the problems with fraud when we actually have elections. It's actually at the voter registration piece. So every time moving forward, we register more people to vote, we should also equate that voter registration with an actual ID check. And that's something that's not being done. And it's concerning to those that are, paying attention to 2022 and beyond.
And you know what? I share this story in that when I was running, I would go door to door and I'd have these lists that you would get directly from the GOP of newly registered voters. And you'd go knock on the door and be like, hi, you're a newly registered voter. I would love to meet you. And they go, no one by that name lives here. And I've lived here for 5 years. And I'm like, oh, well, but it says right here that Susie Smith just registered 4 weeks ago and that she's been living here for 2 years. Sorry, ma'am, that's not true. I'm not Susie Smith and no one by that name lives here. So we are seeing problems. And that makes me think about 22 a lot more. And I'm glad you brought that up, because 22 should be a year where Republicans just kick butt. Normally, historically, when you have a newly elected president in the White House, that midterm election goes against his party big time. I think that's why we all know Nancy Pelosi is going to retire after this one, because she does not want to be taken down. She wants to go out on her own terms. This should be a kick butt year for Republicans. But with all this election fraud, it doesn't seem like it could be very kick butt. We also don't have a lot of great candidates who are stepping up. We look at the gubernatorial race and you've got, you know, old hats like, you know, Laxalt and Heller saying they want to run again. What do we need to do in 22 to actually win?
Well, that's a great question. I think what we have to do is we have to really look at the numbers, right? And the numbers speak for themselves. We have, especially in Clark County in Southern Nevada, we have a larger number of independent voters versus Republicans. And so traditionally, Republicans would run races where it was focused on getting out the base. Well, now we've got to readjust our strategy and our approach. The real focus should be influencing the independents. And that really boils down to the issues that are of greatest importance. And I always tell people, focus on the three major prongs. It's the economy, it's education, and it's rule of law. And these are three areas that Republicans and the conservative base really command and own. And if we focus on the simple three, we're going to make a difference. And, you know, now it's about identifying the right candidates, right? Where are our base weakest at? It's dealing with women, especially in suburban areas, right? So we need more women, and not just women because they're women, but women that have accomplished great things, that are out working within the community, you know, PTO presidents, those involved with various civic organizations and non-for-profits. Women like that will make a difference. And of course, minorities.
100%. I mean, I want to see more women and more minorities running as well, but we also need changes in the Republican Party then, because the Republican Party often chooses to reject women for a, I hate to say it, a white man, because you've had great Republican women like April, like myself and so many others, Lisa Song Sutton. You've had so many people who've gone up there and said like, yes, I will run. I will do this. And then the old guard in these primaries says, well, I don't know. There's a bald white man over here. I think I'm going to go there. And so we as a party have to evolve as well. And people know that just because they haven't gone to every women's Republican meeting for the past 30 years, that doesn't mean that they're not a good person. They're a good, high quality candidate. So a lot of things have to be done here on the front line, starting at home, whether it's, you know, Clark County, your local area and beyond. And I think you agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a lot of amazing women out there. And what we have to do is not only recruit these women, but we also have to focus on training. And it's top to bottom. It's not about just training candidates. We have to train our activists. We have to train our door knockers, you know, in all areas of an organization. We have to do that. And we could see that we had challenges in the last election. You know, there were a lot of people that volunteered as poll watchers. And when you talk to a lot of these poll watchers, you asked about their training. Most of them had no training. So here we have volunteer activists that want to get involved and make a difference and look at and focus on the integrity of this election cycle. And we had these people at poll watch and they didn't even know what they were looking for. And in many cases, because they didn't know what they were looking for, they were told to go outside of the polling place to look for individuals that were wearing, you know, Biden or Trump shirts or hats to ask them to remove it. When in fact, we really needed them inside to watch the county workers to make sure that there was no funny business. And so we need training at all levels. From the ground, from, you know, for the grassroots folks up to the candidates, we need good training across the board. And when we do that and we identify the right people, that will make the big difference. And again, the focus has to be the issues, right? It's about the economy. There's a lot of people that are unemployed. There's a lot of small business owners that are 50-50 on the edge and about to lose everything. We need to focus on embracing and doing what we can to help shore up our economy. Education. There are parents that are frustrated with the dismantling of education and the way it is. You know, while these political elitists are able to send their kids to private schools, we've got folks that don't even have internet connectivity or the hardware, laptops to have their kids attend distance learning. And of course, rule of law. We have craziness where we have violent felons that are being released early, creating havoc in our streets. So we need good candidates to focus on the right issues with organizations of volunteer and activists that are trained. And if we could do those three things, we're going to make a difference in 2022 and beyond.
I hope you're right. And we absolutely do need to focus on the economy, especially with all these, you know, just arbitrary lockdowns. And then you have moments like we saw on December 4th, where Nancy Pelosi said, you know, all this time she didn't want to have any stimulus package. It looks like it's finally one is going to be passed today. But on December 4th, she flat out said it. Well, the reason we didn't do it then was because, well, we didn't want to. But now we have someone else in the White House. So now we're going to take care of things. Democrats have literally used people as their pawns in a horrible chess game in order to get what they want. And the media never calls them out on it. And I think this is a really big point that we have to continue to hit home, because being a keyboard warrior, it doesn't really make all that much of a difference. We've got to infiltrate media. And if we don't get our voices and get quality people who know how to speak on media, speaking on our behalf and taking over media, we're in a lot of trouble, because the mainstream guys are always just going to report what Nancy Pelosi wants them to say.
Absolutely. And you know, it's really a generational issue, right? You know, people ask me all the time, how is it that education and the media and Hollywood, how is it so liberal? And what was their effort and process in order to do that? It's really generational, right? So you look at the post-World War II generation, you had parents, you know, mothers and fathers, you know, if they were liberal and their kids wanted to go into acting or they wanted to go into news, they were embraced and coddled and they were pushed in that direction and supported. You know, children of conservative parents, when they say, I want to be an actor, what did these parents say? They said, no way. Those that wanted to be teachers, they said, no way, be a business person. And so what happened was the post-World War II generation steered a whole generation of conservatives away from getting involved with the media, away from Hollywood, away from the arts, and away from education. And now we're dealing with an entire generation of liberals that are running our most influential institutions. And so it's going to take another generation to do it. And I think given what's going on, the pandemic has really accelerated the need to get our voices heard in other areas and corridors that are usually silent. And I think that we're seeing a big difference. I mean, I look at college kids nowadays and I look at the activism on college campuses and I see a lot more conservatives stepping up to the plate, having themselves be heard and leading the way. And so I'm encouraged by the youth of our nation and what they're doing. And we as adults, we need to nurture that and work with them and do what we have to do to make sure that we push our agenda across, because the other side is working hard and we can work just as hard. And I think that ultimately we have the silent majority. And once we activate them and they know what they have to do, it's going to make a big difference in the short term.
Well, now you made me think I need to call my dad and thank him for funding my two useless degrees in broadcast journalism and political science.
Absolutely.
For supporting me for 10 years while I made less than $20,000 a year just to put this pretty little face on TV. And kids, don't get a broadcast journalism degree. It's a big fat waste of time. So that is my PSA for today. Well, Rudy, I thank you so much for everything you're doing for our community. Tell everybody where people can follow what you're doing. You've got such great posts on social media and you're a huge political activist in DC and here in the great state of Nevada. So tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You can find me on NevadaDeservesBetter.com. Feel free to visit there. And if you want to reach out to me, just message me there directly. And I'll get back to you directly, because a lot of people are going through a hard time. And so anything I could do to help, even if it's just listening or direct you to where you can gather more information, help your needs, that's what I'm all about. So it's all about community.
And I can tell you that he will text you back, even if he's on an airplane halfway around the world, and he'll be like, hey, I'm going somewhere. I'll write you back later.
Just you, Michelle.
Oh, I want to get that. Okay. Well, I'll take it. Well, Rudy, thank you so much for giving us some of your time today and enlightening us with everything that you had to share. It was really a great conversation. And thank you for being such a huge supporter of the show. I really appreciate that as well. You have a fantastic holiday, my friend.
Thanks, Michelle. Take care.
Bye. All right, my friends, we still have a lot more Michelle Mortensen show to come. Did you know that there's going to be a big reboot of Little House on the Prairie? Oh, yes. Plus, what are the best Christmas movies of all time? We're going to talk about that and so much more. And the buzz, that's right, what's buzzing in media, that's all coming up after the break. You are not going to want to go anywhere, my friends, especially if you really like one of those Property Brothers. Oh, yeah. Big scoop on that coming here, too. So stay with us after the commercial break.
Christmas come this time each year.
Saving money on your car insurance is easy with the team at InsureWise. The agents at InsureWise can find you the best coverage at the lowest price, something the corporate guys just can't do. Great rates await on your car, home, life, and business insurance. Don't pay too much for insurance. Be wise and get InsureWise. Call 702-620-4825. That's 702-620-4825. InsureWise, the only wise choice for all your insurance needs.
Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen, and if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friends at Therapy Blocks LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Blocks LLC is veteran-owned and operated, and many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic that also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learned about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on The Michelle Mortensen Show. Snowing and blowing up, bushes are fun. Now the jingle hopper has begun. So I had to look it up. Hall & Oates were popular back in the 80s. That song came out like in 83. And it's the funniest darn thing I've ever seen in my life. I didn't even know about that song. I literally Googled, or I was YouTubing Christmas music that was hip. And that came up. It's not hip, but I love the fake acting. It is fantastic. All right. On Fridays, we do What the What. On Mondays, we do What's the Media Buzz.
Hey, what's the buzz?
Well, I got your buzz. It's right here, my friends. Little House on the Prairie might be getting a reboot. That's right. Paramount TV Studios and Anonymous Content have developed a one-hour episodic drama based on the popular book series. Now, my kids, they are reading Little House on the Prairie books. They start reading the Little House on the Prairie books in first grade in their school. So when I told them it was an actual TV show, they got super excited. And I have now, because I didn't watch it when I was a kid, I've now watched like all the way up until Mary Gets Blind. The kids got bored after that. They didn't want to watch after season 5. And this is the most wholesome show I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, they pray, they go to church. The Christmas episodes are all about Jesus being born in a manger. Do you think this show is going to fly in modern times, or are they going to modern it up? Well, let me tell you, the people who made this show also made Homecoming, Dickinson, and 13 Reasons Why. So I got a feeling it's going to be a pretty hip interpretation. But the chick who played Nellie Olson is super excited, and they hope that she hopes that she gets cast as Mrs. Olson. Why? Because she hasn't worked since Little House on the Prairie. That's right. That's right. Okay. Cancel culture sucks. And it is going after a CBS Stephen King series called The Stand. Woke cancel culture is just really furious that there is a deaf character in this show and the actor who plays it isn't deaf. The horror. The absolute horror. That's right. Henry Zaga is the actor. He plays Nick Andros, who is deaf, and cancel culture woke society ain't having it. They say if Scarlett Johansson can't portray a woman identifying as a man, and if James Corden can't be a straight actor playing a gay character, we can't have a hearing person playing someone who is deaf. I mean, the horror. This is what people tweeted about it. There's absolutely no excuse for not hiring a deaf actor to play a deaf character. Okay. I want to see deaf people playing deaf people on the screen because I can instantly tell that acting and singing is not authentic. Hearing people think hearing people act as deaf people is a great representation while it leaves us out in the cold. Oh, stop it. Stop it. This is stupid.
Screw this. This is just stupid.
It's right. I mean, it's just stupid. You know what else is stupid? One of the Property Brothers not realizing that as a Property Brother, he's just there to be hot and redo homes. But no, he thought it was a good idea to start making a Christmas album with a video to boot. That is ridiculous. Give me a minute. It's gonna make you cringe.
Downtown, walking around, looking at life. Bells ring, sing Silent Night. I love how it feels to be bundled up, walking on a blanket of snow. I smile like a child when I see the Christmas trees and the mistletoe. Nothing feels better than Christmas.
Oh, nothing feels better than Christmas. We're making wrapping paper snow angels in my mansion in Las Vegas. Oh my God. Producer Spence, by the way, just dropped some huge news that Rick Astley has a new Christmas song. I really question why he hasn't told me this earlier, because it should have been on this show today, but whatevs. Now I gotta Google it. All right. And speaking of holiday pictures, have you seen the royal family's holiday picture? It's quite cute, isn't it? You got Will there. You got Princess Kate. You got all three of the princes and princesses, George, and I don't know all their names, so I can't really say it. Charlotte. That's the girl's name. Actually, a really cute picture. Actually, very just real and kind of honest, and I like it. It's authentic. They're really the only royals I like these days, really, if I'm honest, because after watching season 4 of The Crown, I hate Charles more than anything. And I'm pretty sure that you do too. Maybe you're not watching The Crown though. Maybe you're watching Christmas movies. And as you know, earlier in the week, I asked you guys, you know, what's the best Christmas movie of all time? And I'm going to read some of the responses. As I expected, so many of you think Die Hard is the freaking best Christmas movie of all time. And there are others of you who just think in outrage that, you know, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. And I love the comment from one person who said Lethal Weapon opens up during Christmas. So Lethal Weapon is also a Christmas movie. For that matter, the latest Star Wars film, the one, you know, where sadly Kylo Ren, I shouldn't ruin it for people who haven't watched it. Well, that one, which is like probably my favorite Star Wars movie of all time, it came out during Christmas too. So now that's my favorite Christmas movie. But most of you said the Peanuts, Snoopy, got a lot of the Grinch, the original Grinch, not the one with Jim Carrey, not the one with Benedict Cumberbatch. The original. A lot of love, actually. So many people loving that. Christmas Vacation was also high up on this list. And the original Rudolph. I too love the original Rudolph. It's very good. I like all the Rudolphs one, including Rankin and Bass, Rudolph, Shiny New Year. My kids watched it. They didn't understand it because, you know, it really stopped in the 60s. And it was like, I don't get it, over my head. I love it. There is also a very good one called Frosty and Rudolph Save Christmas, like in July. And they go to the summer and they go to the beach and they go to you should check it out. I own it. It's very good. In fact, there's quite a few Rankin and Bass movies that you've never heard of. There's a Pinocchio one that's Rankin and Bass. There's also one about Christmas leprechauns. It's crazy stuff, but I absolutely love it all. And if you're not watching the Peanuts Christmas, well, there's just something wrong with you. Home Alone, however, sucks. I know I shouldn't say that, but I have two children who are ages 6 and 8, and they think Home Alone is awesome. And they don't think Elf is awesome. So there's obviously something seriously wrong with my children who would rather make me watch Home Alone like always and not watch Elf. You know what else they make me watch? Elsa and Anna in a Disney Christmas sing-along hosted by god-awful Ryan Seacrest. That's going to make me bulimic. So maybe finally I'll lose weight from all this added Christmas pounds. Guess what, everyone? We're not going to have a show on Friday. Do you want to know why? It's Christmas Day. And, you know, my kids will kill me if I sit and go to the studio and do a show instead of opening gifts. So no show then. But guess what? On Monday, we're going to have a show, and it's going to be a bang-up show because Jeff Hartman is back. That's right, the political astrologist. He's going to be here, and he's going to be taking your questions all hour. So if you have questions about what your life is going to be like in 2021, what life is going to be like politically in 2021, what life is going to be like with COVID, ask him, and he will give you the answers. This has been our most requested show of all time. People love Jeff Hartman. He is going to be on with us. So please join us on Monday, the 28th. It's going to be a bang-up show. We have a special guest in the studio today, Mike Reese. Thanks for checking us out and seeing what the show is all about. As always, I cannot do this show without Spence. He is the glue that holds it all together, although he's now on the naughty list for not telling me about Rick Astley. So shame, Spence. I freaking know your name and you are getting cold for me now. And that was a joke. And so we're going to have a great show then. And I appreciate you guys tuning in every week. As you know, it's time for Christmas karaoke, my favorite time. And I am doing a repeat because my favorite Christmas song of all time will always be Run DMC Christmas in Hollis, because I am a kid of the 90s and it was just super duper cool. And I love it. Although I think it came out in the 80s, but I wasn't allowed to watch MTV back then. I was too young. And so it is going to be our Christmas karaoke. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. And I will see you on Monday, the 28th. Have a very, very Merry Christmas. I hope you have a fantastic time. And to all my friends who celebrated Hanukkah, I hope you had a blessed Hanukkah. And my friends who celebrate Kwanzaa, happy Kwanzaa to you as well. Enjoy Run DMC Christmas in Hollis, the best Christmas carol of all time.
On Hollis Avenue, the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog in the park, I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my god, a ill reindeer. But then I was feeling cold, the man had a beard and a bag full of goodies, 12 o'clock at noon. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he must have dropped his wallet back down on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause. Took out the lights and then it cold, said Santa Claus. $1 million in it, cold, hundreds of G's. Enough to buy a boat, magic car with ease. But I never steal for Santa, but that ain't right. So I was going home to mail it back to him that night. But when I got home, I bumped, 'cause under the tree was a letter from Santa and the door was for me. It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. Rice and stuffing macaroni and cheese. And Santa put gifts under Christmas trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, Snow White so bright. In the fireplace is the Yule log. Beneath the mistletoe as we drink eggnog. The rhymes that you hear are the rhymes of carols. Like each and every year we bust Christmas carols. Christmas carols.
Yo, come on, let's step.